Welcome. This evening, it is October 30th, 2023, and the time is 1936, Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green here with you. We want to remember, of course, how happy Jehovah is, in harmony with, of course, or the cause of his people being happy also, which is recorded at 1 Timothy 1, verse 11, that Jehovah is the happy God. And our study for today comes from the article Born and Raised, chapter 10, now paragraph 5, talking about the man of lawlessness. The applicability of this prophecy concerning the man of lawlessness over a long period of time is certain, since Scripture tends to have multiple fulfillments, and Christendom is present today with its false teachings. The man is a composite man, quote-unquote man, since one man's lifespan is shorter than the time since Jesus walked the earth. The, quote, lawless one's presence, unquote, this is from 2 Thessalonians, is by the operation of Satan with every powerful work, and lying signs and wonders, as Paul writes at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Today, we have the churches of Christendom adhering to unscriptural doctrines such as hellfire, celibacy, the Trinity, titles for priests called Reverend, Father. These ones must be, quote, revealed, unquote, before Jehovah's Day can arrive, as Paul says. And before that, the one who acts as a, quote, restraint, unquote, must also get to be, quote, to be out of the way, unquote. Yet, Paul advised fellow Christians not to be, quote, quickly shaken, unquote, as though the day of Jehovah had already come. The thing, quote, acting as a restraint, unquote, in Paul's day, which prevented the revealing of the, quote, unquote, man of lawlessness of Christendom, was the body of living apostles of Jesus. The man of lawlessness is in quotes and is manifested in Christendom. And the thing acting as a restraint in Paul's day was the body of the living apostles of Jesus, preventing this man of lawlessness, Christendom, from being revealed in that day. So we didn't have an understanding of Tiberius, the emperor of Rome, as being part of Christendom. We didn't see that at that time. It wasn't manifested until today, even with this article, when we manifested or revealed it through his faithful apostles. Continuing our reading of this paragraph, Jesus was the restraint preventing the signs of false worship. In other words, he manifested himself through his living apostles who knew his true teachings, and this suppressed or restrained the false worship from being manifested. So, as long as there's true teaching, that suppresses the false teachings, is what that is stating in the case of the days of Paul. And we might believe that would be true also today, of course, that if we have true teaching, then it's going to suppress or restrain the false teaching, because there wouldn't be such an opportunity for the false preachers to preach their message, seeing as there's enough spiritual food going around from the true preachers and the true Christians. But, you know, Paul in his day is talking about the possibility of some message coming from somebody falsely saying that the day of Jehovah has arrived. And we wouldn't want to be naive enough to believe that unless we saw first that this man of lawlessness had been revealed, is what Paul's saying. And that has to happen first. In the letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, to the Thessalonians is the correct, I guess, the Thessalonians, but they were in Thessalonica. Maybe they could be called Thessalonians. I guess they could be Thessalonians. I hadn't thought of that before, actually. We have all these teachings from the Bible that are meant to edify us. We can benefit by simply taking in the information and meditating on it. Our proverb for today, little children, is from Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1. Who is there like the wise one? And who is there knowing the interpretation of a thing? The wisdom of a man itself causes his face to shine, and even the sternness of his face is changed for the better. Who is there like the wise one? That's fascinating, is it not, that even the wise King Solomon, who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, is asking a question like, who is there knowing the interpretation of a thing? It's not that clear who knows the interpretation. It's not always clear who are the wise ones and who is wise enough to understand the interpretation of things. That isn't well known, as Solomon, through the wisdom of God, inspired by God, wrote in this book that is part of the Bible canon. Therefore, we believe it's inspired by God because it was allowed to be included in the Bible canon. But not only that, we believe it's inspired because it's because of its power to benefit human beings in our lives. That's what makes it inspired. That's what shows it to be inspired. We were reading Ruth, remember? And then we forgot to read it yesterday. Ruth chapter 2. Maybe we can do chapter 2 and 3 today. If we can get through all of this material, we'll be doing well. But it's going to be a lot of information and possibly difficult to digest for many of us, myself included. But Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband. Of her husband, a man mighty of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. In time, Ruth the Moabite woman said to Naomi, "Let me go, please, to the field and glean among the ears of grain, following after whoever it is in whose eyes I may find favor." So she said to him, "Go, my daughter." At that she went off and entered and began to glean in the field behind the harvesters. Thus, by chance, she lighted on the tract of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech, the now deceased husband of Naomi. And look, Boaz came from Bethlehem and proceeded to say to the harvesters, "Jehovah be with you." In turn, they would say to him, Jehovah bless you. Subsequently, Boaz said to the young man who was set over the harvesters, to whom does this young woman belong? So the young man set over the harvesters answered and said, the young woman is a Moabitess who returned with Naomi from the field of Moab. Then she said, let me glean, please, and I shall certainly gather among the cut-off ears of grain behind the harvesters. So she entered and kept on her feet from that time in the morning until her sitting down just now in the house a little while. Later Boaz said to Ruth, you have heard, have you not, my daughter? Do not go away to glean in another field, and you must also not cross over from this place, and in that way you should keep close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they will harvest, and you must go with them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? When you are thirsty, you must also go to the vessels and drink from what the young men will draw. At that she fell upon her face and bowed down to the earth and said to him, how is it I have found favor in your eyes so that I am taken notice of when I am a foreigner? Then Boaz answered and said to her, the report was fully made to me of all that you have done to your mother-in-law after the death of your husband, and how you proceeded to leave your father and your mother and the land of your relatives, and to go to a people whom you had not known formerly. May Jehovah reward the way you act, and may there come to be a perfect wage for you from Jehovah the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. To this she said, let me find favor in your eyes, my Lord, because you have comforted me, and because you have spoken reassuringly to your maidservant, although I myself may not happen to be like one of your maidservants. And Boaz proceeded to say to her at mealtime, approach here, and you must eat some of the bread and dip your piece in the vinegar. So she sat down beside the harvesters, and he would hold out roasted grain to her, and she would eat, so that she was satisfied and yet had something left over. Then she got up to glean. Boaz now commanded his young men, saying, let her glean also among the cut-off ears of grain, and you must not molest her, and you should also be sure to pull out some from the bundles of ears for her, and you must leave them behind, that she may glean them, and you must not rebuke her. And she continued to glean in the field until the evening, after which she beat out what she had gleaned, and it came to be about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law got to see what she had gleaned. After that she took out what food she had left over when she had satisfied herself, and gave it to her. And her mother-in-law now said to her, where did you glean today, and where did you work? May the one who took notice of you become blessed. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and she went on to say, the name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz. At that Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of Jehovah who has not left his loving-kindness toward the living and the dead. And Naomi went on to say to her, the man is related to us. He is one of our repurchasers. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, he also said to me, close by the young people that are mine is where you should keep until they have finished the entire harvest that I have. So Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is better, my daughter, that you should go out with his young women, that they may not annoy you in another field. And she continued to keep close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the harvest of the barley and the harvest of the wheat came to an end. And she kept on dwelling with her mother-in-law. The barley was the first of the two harvests, barley and then wheat. Typically, that was the order in which the harvests came in Israel, as we see in also other parts of the Bible. When they celebrated the barley harvest, which was the very first of the harvests of the grains. So it came before the wheat harvest. Now, in Ruth chapter 3, Naomi, her mother-in-law, now said to her, my daughter, ought I not to look for a resting place for you, that it may go well with you? And now is not Boaz with whose young women you have continued? our kinsman? Look, he is winnowing barley at the thrashing floor tonight. And you must wash and rub yourself with oil and put your mantles upon you and go down to the thrashing floor. Do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And it should occur that when he lies down, you must also take note of the place where he lies down, and you must come and uncover him at his feet and lie down, and he, for his part, will tell you what you ought to do. At that she said to her, "All that you say to me, I shall do." And she proceeded to go down to the thrashing floor and to do according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. Meantime, Boaz ate and drank, and his heart was feeling good. Then he went to lie down at the extremity of the grain heap. After that, she came stealthily and uncovered him at his feet and lay down. And it came about at midnight that the man began to tremble. So he bent himself forward, and look, a woman lying at his feet. Then he said, "Who are you?" In turn she said, "I am Ruth, your slave girl, and you must spread out your skirt over your slave girl, for you are a repurchaser." At that he said, "Blessed may you be of Jehovah, my daughter. You have expressed your loving kindness better in this last instance than in the first instance, in not going after the young fellows, whether lowly or rich. And now, my daughter, do not be afraid. All that you say I shall do for you, for everyone in the gate of my people is aware that you are an excellent woman. And now, while it is a fact that I am a repurchaser, there is also a repurchaser closer related than I am. Lodge here tonight, and it must occur in the morning, that if he will repurchase you, fine, let him do the repurchasing. But if he does not take delight in repurchasing you, I will then repurchase you, I myself, as sure as Jehovah lives. Keep lying down until the morning." And she kept lying at his feet until the morning, and then got up before anyone could recognize another. He now said, "Do not let it be known that a woman came to the thrashing floor." And he went on to say, "Bring the cloak that is on you and hold it open." So she held it open, and he proceeded to measure out 6 measures of barley and to place it upon her, after which he went into the city. And she went her way to her mother-in-law, who now said, "Who are you, my daughter?" Accordingly, she told her everything that the man had done to her. And she went on to say, "These 6 measures of barley he gave me, for he said to me, 'Do not come empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" At that she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will have no rest unless he has brought the matter to an end today." That's the end of Ruth chapter 3. So we've caught up now in our study of the book of Ruth. There's only one more chapter in the book of Ruth, I believe. I checked that already. And we are going to move on to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3. While I'm at it, I might as well keep a check on this. There we go. Jeremiah, chapter 3. There is a saying, if a man should send away his wife, and she should actually go away from him and become another man's, should he return to her anymore? Has that land not positively become polluted? And you yourself have committed prostitution with many companions, and should there be a returning to me? Is the utterance of Jehovah talking to his people? Raise your eyes to the beaten paths and see, where is it that you have not been raped? Alongside the ways you have sat for them like an Arabian in the wilderness, and you keep polluting the land with your acts of prostitution and with your badness. So copious showers are withheld, and not even a spring rain has occurred, and the forehead of a wife committing prostitution is what has become yours. You have refused to feel humiliated. Have you from now on called out to me, "My father, you are the confidential friend of my youth"? Should one stay resentful to time indefinite, or keep watching something forever? That's the end of that quote, "My father, you are the confidential friend of my youth. Should one stay resentful to time indefinite, or keep watching something forever?" Jehovah responds to that, look, you've spoken and you went on to do bad things and prevail. And Jehovah proceeded to say to me, in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what unfaithful Israel has done? She is going upon every high mountain and underneath every luxuriant tree, that she may commit prostitution there. And after her doing all these things, I kept saying that she should return even to me. But she did not return, and Judah kept looking at her own treacherous sister. That is, Israel was the sister of Judah. When I got to see that, for the very reason that unfaithful Israel had committed adultery, I sent her away and proceeded to give the certificate of full divorce to her. Yet, treacherously dealing, Judah, her sister, did not become afraid, but she herself also began to go and commit prostitution. And her prostitution occurred because of her frivolous view, and she kept polluting the land and committing adultery with stones and with trees. And even for all this, her treacherous sister Judah did not return to me with all her heart. Only falsely is the utterance of Jehovah. And Jehovah went on to say to me, unfaithful Israel has proved her own soul to be more righteous than treacherously dealing Judah. Go, and you must proclaim these words to the north and say, do return, O renegade Israel, is the utterance of Jehovah. I shall not have my face drop angrily upon you people, for I am loyal, is the utterance of Jehovah. I shall not stay resentful to time indefinite. Only take note of your error, for it is against Jehovah your God that you have transgressed. And you continued scattering your ways to the strangers, under every luxuriant tree. But to my voice you people did not listen, is the utterance of Jehovah. Return, you renegade sons, is the utterance of Jehovah, for I myself have become the husbandly owner of you people. And I will take you, one out of a city and two out of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you shepherds in agreement with my heart, and they will certainly feed you with knowledge and insight. And it must occur that you will become many and certainly bear fruit in the land in those days, is the utterance of Jehovah. No more will they say the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah, nor will it come up into the heart, nor will they remember it or miss it, and no more will it be made. In that time they will call Jerusalem the throne of Jehovah, and to her all the nations must be brought together to the name of Jehovah at Jerusalem, and they will no more walk after the stubbornness of their bad heart. In those days they will walk the house of Judah alongside the house of Israel, and together they will come out of the land of the north into the land that I gave as a hereditary possession to your forefathers. And I myself have said, oh, how I proceeded to place you among the sons and give you the desirable land, the hereditary possession of the ornament of the armies of the nations. And I further said, my father, you people will call out to me, and from following me you people will not turn back. Truly, as a wife has treacherously gone from her companion, so you, O house of Israel, have treacherously dealt with me, is the utterance of Jehovah. So Jehovah says, and I further said, my father, you people will call out to me, and from following me, you people will not turn back. Truly, as a wife has treacherously gone from her companion, so you, O house of Israel, have dealt treacherously with me, is the utterance of Jehovah. On the beaten paths, there has been heard a sound, the weeping, the entreaties of the sons of Israel, for they have twisted their way, they have forgotten Jehovah their God. Return, you renegade sons, I shall heal your renegade condition. Here we are, we have come to you, for you, O Jehovah, are our God. Truly the hills, as well as the turmoil on the mountains, belong to falsehood. Truly in Jehovah our God is the salvation of Israel, but the shameful thing itself has eaten up the toil of our forefathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our humiliation keeps covering us, for it is toward Jehovah our God that we have sinned, we and our fathers, from our youth on and down to this day, and we have not obeyed the voice of Jehovah our God. End quote. So that's in the end of that chapter 3 of Jeremiah. The disloyal nation speaking, and admitting their sin. It's interesting that we had not really heard their exact statement until that point. We'd heard what Jehovah wanted them to say, according to Jehovah himself. And what Jehovah spoke through Jeremiah was all of this that we've been reading. It's what Jehovah revealed to Jeremiah, but it was the word of Jehovah. And it's interesting, it's talking about wives and how a husband typically does not return to a wife if she's gone and committed an act of unfaithfulness with another man. But yet, Israel had been extremely unfaithful. Under every tree, it was described here that Israel had committed these unfaithful acts. And it was upon every high mountain as well in verse 6, but Israel did these things also, but Judah imitated her unfaithful sister Israel. We know that Israel was a nation as part of the overall nation of Israel before the days of Solomon's son Rehoboam, but when Rehoboam began to rule, the kingdom became split when there was a disagreement between Jeroboam and Rehoboam, and Jeroboam went off to found the northern kingdom of Israel, which had split away from the kingdom of Judah, which retained only Judah, and Benjamin, I believe, was part of that kingdom of Judah also. But it was a very small, it was two tribes compared to the other, you know, eight tribes or nine tribes, depending, because we had Manasseh and Ephraim being two of the tribes that replaced the tribe of Joseph, since they were his sons. There were actually 11 tribes. Well, there have been 12 tribes, actually. What am I saying? There were 12. There were 12, but Levi didn't get a place. And Simeon didn't get a place of territory. So there were only 10 parcels of land allocated. That became 11 with the addition of, or the substitution of Manasseh and Ephraim for Joseph. But be that as it may, 8 of the 10 original tribes had split off. Or 8 out of 10, or what that would be, 9 of 11, I guess you could say, had split off from the original tribes, leaving only two tribes as the kingdom of Judah. And Judah even though she saw that Israel had been given a full divorce from Jehovah, did not behave well. She became unfaithful just like her sister. That's the idea. So even though Judah saw that consequences of Israel's departing from Jehovah and, you know, ceasing to receive his blessing, it didn't teach Judah anything. She was still unfaithful, and this is what Jeremiah found himself in a position of prophesying about in the days of Josiah. And as it says in verse 6, in the days of Josiah, but also in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1, he prophesied all the way down to the end of the reign of Zedekiah, when Jerusalem was destroyed, captured, and the temple destroyed. Now we're going to go to our next study part, which is going to be Hebrews chapter 3. Remember Hebrews chapter 2, we said, that is why it is necessary for us to pay more than usual attention to the things heard by us, that we may never drift away. Consequently, holy brothers, partakers of the heavenly calling, we're running out of time now, consider the apostle and high priest whom we confess, Jesus. We might get through it. He was faithful to the one that made him, such as Moses was also in all the house of that one, for the latter is counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who constructs it has more honor than the house. Of course, every house is constructed by someone, but he that constructed all things is God, and Moses, as an attendant, was faithful in all the house of that one, as a testimony of the things that were to be spoken of afterwards, but Christ was faithful as a son over the house of that one. We are the house of that one, if we make fast our hold on our freeness of speech and our boasting over the hope firm to the end. For this reason, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you people listen to his own voice, do not harden your hearts, as on the occasion of causing bitter anger, as in the day of making the test in the wilderness, in which your forefathers made a test of me with a trial, and yet they had seen my works for 40 years. For this reason I became disgusted with this generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they themselves have not come to know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Beware, brothers, for fear there should ever develop in any one of you a wicked heart lacking faith, by drawing away from the living God, but keep on exhorting one another each day as long as it may be called today, for fear any one of you should become hardened by the deceptive power of sin. For we actually become partakers of the Christ only if we make fast our hold on the confidence we had at the beginning, firm to the end. While it is being said, today if you people listen to his own voice, do not harden your hearts, as on the occasion of causing bitter anger. For who were they that heard and yet provoked to bitter anger? Did not in fact all do so who went out of Egypt under Moses? Moreover, with whom did God become disgusted for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? But to whom did he swear that they should not enter into his rest, except to those who acted disobediently? So we see that they could not enter in because of lack of faith. Right. Beware, brothers, for fear there should ever develop in any one of you a wicked heart lacking faith by drawing away from the living God. This is a very important thing, faith. Jesus was faithful, as was Moses, but he who constructs the house has more honor than the house. And we know Jesus was also the one through whom all things were created. He has a very, very important role as the Son of God in the house of God, even more so than Moses. That's the end of our study for today, brothers and little ones. And it's October 30th, 2023. The time is 20:09 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. This is Hammy the Crow and Cassie on my behalf saying bye for now.